heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
How do you want to see him?
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy.
Amen.
High and lifted up, shining in the light. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
He's worthy, isn't he?
Holy, holy, holy. I want to see
him. Amen, amen, and amen. I want to see him, don't you? Been a long service and life of serving him, and I want to see him. But I can see him through the Word, so that's as real as I'll get on this side. But then there'll be a change, won't it? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like, turn in your scripture where we've been reading in Ephesians 1. We'll read there, and then we'll read in 1 Peter 2. Ephesians 1, 1 Peter 2. Now remember, the Lord willing, this coming weekend will be the fellowship meeting, the minister's meeting that we'll be going to the over to be with the brothers there. And then the next weekend will be the fellowship meeting, and looking forward to a great time in the Lord and all. I know Terrence announced that, you know, that the in the one in July. But if any time that you that are out of town, if somebody will, just tell the people that are from out of town, say, well, you know, come up and spend a night with us on Saturday night or something like that, you know, and contact these people about these and make them welcomed, you know, to come and stay and spend a night with you and everything. And that would be nice on any of them, because the fellowship meeting weekend will be, you know, it will be long too. So, you know, just come and have a good time that way together. And would all work out better. That way you could learn to fellowship together better in the Lord. Amen. So remember these and keep them in your mind. Ephesians 1 and 1 Peter 2. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the hour that we have upon the earth. But most of all, we thank you for the fact that you have revealed yourself unto us, and that, Lord, that you've come among us to make yourself manifest. And, Lord, as we were trying to say this morning, we don't want to miss, Lord, what you're doing, and trying to look for something to come. We want to be prepared against the day and realize realization and walk in the light of the love. We thank you, Father, for everything, and guide us now. Forgive our sins, cleanse us, and keep us, Lord. As we read your words, you come and speak to our hearts, because we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1. Verse 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. All right, let's go over to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, and we'll begin verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, If so, that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I'm trying to, you know, get us to an understanding and all on what the hour that we're living, because that's the main thing to me, is a present tense gospel, you know. And to do that, see, sometimes we have to look over the life and existence and things like that and look and see what God says and believe it and keep on walking in that point. Now, I was trying to make a definite point this morning about, you know, and I said we'd be in adoption, and we just put the title, I told Brother Joseph, just put adoption in three stages, and we'll go with that, part one, two, three, four, until we finish what we're wanting to cover and all. And, you know, everybody wants to go on over to the adoptions and things and, you know, the great manifestations and stuff like that. But I want us to be just as simple as we can, try to continue, you know, go through and see the stages of adoption and covering it like we did on the life of our will on the life of Jesus Christ, to where that he was identified there. See, you know, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. All right, he was identified. He was put forth to the world to be shown by, as I said this morning, his baptismal service, because it was necessary that he be baptized to wash the sacrifice and everything would be ready, you know, and all like that, because he would do that. And then in his life, we have the example, see, to where we can follow it. And we see that we start our journey of a Christian journey as our water baptism too. You know, we start out as that, and it's necessary that we be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that way it would bring the promises of God to us, to where that we can, you know, see those things. And I want you to see that, but I want you to think about the, and keep it as simple as possible. And now this afternoon, we're not going to deal with nothing but just trying to see how that we become the children of God. Right. You say, well, we understand this, we understand that. Well, a lot of people don't, and maybe sometimes we think we do, and maybe we don't understand what we need to know about these things, and trying to make it as simple as possible to deal with that. Because, you know, as I said, the Lord Jesus, he didn't need a new birth. So he didn't go through those things to do, but God still came down and united himself with him there on the River Jordan, as we talk about, you know, his baptismal part. And I do believe in that. I believe that that was when that, you know, the Spirit of God descended, the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus Christ. And as it did, then it was proclaiming him to be who he was. And that would be bringing him to the point that he needed to be, all right? Because he needed to be recognized, you know. And it was done before the world. Well, I believe that you know, ever born again believer that, you know, has the new birth, and that is the, you know, to be born again is to have the new birth. I believe that identifies us in the body of Christ. All right, that's what I want you to see. And just hold it on that point, and then we'll pick up more going along, you know, of our stages of our journey. But just think about your life and the things that you do. You remember how I've always told you that the way that I check a doctrine, how is it that I check a doctrine? By my new birth. Well, I check it by the Word. I've heard a lot of people say that. I just tell it like it is. If what a man is preaching doesn't compare with what God has done in my life, in my new birth, then I just can't believe it. I'm sorry. I've told people that. I'd say, well, I'm sorry. I just can't see what you're talking about. because it's not a point of argument. It's just, if I don't see it, I'm not going to tell you. Yeah, I see it, you know. That's where a lot of people, you know, they'll be standing around and somebody say, do you see that? Yeah, I think I see it, you know. Looking up at something, you know, like that, but they're just faking it. They're not really seeing it. I want to see it for myself. You know, and that way then I know that I've got it. I don't have to worry about it. See, I like to see something personal. But see, to me, the new birth, then the coming into the body of Christ, the, as I said about the children of Israel and gave you the Webster's definition of adoption or adopt. See, where did everybody be specific? Adoption is the act or fact of being adopted. I mean, it's okay, Webster. But the adopt is to actually you take someone else's child, born to someone else, and you bring them into your family, and you adopt them into your family with all legal rights and forms, let's see, than it is in the basis of, no more than it is in any other child, because that's the law of the land, that you give that right by the adopt, if you adopt somebody's children. Well, then we're talking about Israel. See? You say, well, they were the chosen of God. But how were they chosen? They were a nation, a people, but they were adopted into the family of God. See, the process of bringing them forth and made it, as I said, the choosing is a word for adopt, or even the word espouse, see, is the same word as adopt. See? And then doing that, then God chose Israel to be his people. All right? And when he chose them, see, he didn't give them the new birth back there. That was the natural story of bringing in a people to a spiritual condition, you know, of being the chosen of God, but they had to be chosen. See? Something took place. God adopted Israel into his lineage or line because they were, you know, it was there. But we Gentiles, as we read this morning from Ephesians there, we were aliens from God. We had no nothing, because adoption pertains to Israel, see? Because that would be their right, their inheritance, and we don't have any inheritance. See, that away. We don't have anything promised to us Gentiles. We were just a bunch of dogs, just outcasts, just garbage, you know. But see, then when it came down to the basis that, as I said, Jesus started his, he was identified, all right? Then he went to Mount of Transfiguration, you know, and authority and things and all came in. Then the change came. Well, we're going to go through that away. But I'm wanting you to stay on with me on the basis of just seeing how did we ever become the children of God. Of course, now the great message of the hour of people, you know, oh, I always was a son of God. And they'll quote Brother Branham. Well, that's fine. But keep quoting. See, as a believer in doing it, I said this morning, I'm a firm believer that we must be born again. Amen. See? I don't believe we just come in this message. You know, you just come along and you believe, say, I believe the message. Well, the devil did too. Did that make him born again? You know. All right. But see, that's, you know, I want us to see that we must receive or come to a place, because then adoption goes on. It doesn't stop just by your new birth. That's just the beginning. Right? See, then it will go on to sonship. But you know, a child had to be a child. You know. You had to be first born into the world, or you're not here now. That's just, you know. All right? See, it's a child, and we read a lot of the quotes that we, you know, we didn't become children here that. No, well, all right, that's in God's mind. But see, there has to be a time that you and I must receive the new birth. Because if we don't receive the new birth, we're not the children of God. We were aliens from God, you know. We were outcasts. And Peter, we read, said, what is it? We come to the basis, see, to desire that as newborn babies. Yep. Amen. Yeah. You didn't come into this message, you know, as full grown. You didn't come into the new birth. That doesn't make you full grown. It makes you a baby. as we read over there and have used it in Ephesians, that we have the earnest of our inheritance. Until the redemption of the purchased possession. Or, in other words, everybody down through there, as I said this morning, had the new birth. You know, all born-again believers, the new birth. They were predestinated to that. All right? But you and I are predestinated to come to a finish fact or completion of this in our day and understand what's going on. Well, all right, let's do that and let's believe it. And not just say, well, nobody ain't got nothing. We just, you know, everybody just, we've been around here, we've been saying the same thing for 40 years. Well, there's a reason why. I have it written in my notes, but I won't get to it this evening. There's a reason why we've been around here 40 years. You know what it is? It's to let all of the ones that wanted to denominate, let them go ahead and denominate. All right? And that's just as simple as can be. There's other factors, but that's just one point of what I'm talking about. But see, get the point first. Jesus was the Son of God. He was born the Son of God. He didn't become the Son of God. He didn't become God on the River Jordan. He was anointed to go forth with His ministry. All right? And that was when God identified Him as being His Son. All right? See, then that was a wonderful position because He said, in other words, I've come down now. That was what God was saying, as we call it, River Jordan, experiencing things, is baptism. I've come down. I'm showing you that I've come down. I'm going to identify this. See? If you get anything, you know, it's going to come from this one here. All right? See, then we look at that as adoption to be way on later, you know, over. No, He was God. See? And in His life, as I said this morning, you've got the Bible to read. There's a lot of time between when He was baptized and the point of where He come to Mount of Transfiguration. That wasn't just sitting back, well, one of these days I come to Transfiguration, I'll really have something then. You know, I'll become manifested. You got to grow up. We've got to cover that, see? He grew in grace and knowledge, the Bible said. But He was God the whole time. All right. Now, I believe your new birth brings God into you to make you a child of God. All right? And that sets the stage then of adoption to where that eventually we can come to the position of authorities and things like that. See? All right? But yet we've got to have the baby's got to be born. You know? And that's what I want to hold on today. I don't want to even get into, and even with some of the quotes I gave you, Brother Branham would be covering, you know, he said, now that's where Pentecost failed and all this, that, and other thing. They were born into the family, and that ended it all. But I don't want your mind to even go on to that way of thinking. I want your mind on the thinking of the fact that the new birth makes us a child of God. All right? Now, that's where He chose us. We've read it there in Ephesians that we were chosen in Him. He chose us. He chose to give us the new birth. All right? And that way, then, I want us to just think about what He's given us. As I was trying to hold it this morning to just the water baptism. That identified you to the world that you was a believer different from others. See? Because you took on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to just be baptized and just say, well, no, I went down this way, you know, and up. No, it's to be sincere about it and realization of what we are and what's taking place. And realize this afternoon, the one thing I want you to see is the importance of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because that's what gives you the new birth. It's not to believe the message. It's not to do all of those are things that goes with it. It's whether or not you're born again. All right? See, that's the point I want to hold in your mind is do you realize and do you know that you are born again? See, because you can't start the adoption without that part being brought into view. See? There's no need to even talking about it. Yeah, but I want to know these great mysteries. I want to go the mysteries is that. There is a mystery of the new birth. See? That is the mystery. That God would come down, and you ask me how it's done, I don't know. That how God would come down and get into my soul and be able to give me a new birth. Amen. When that thing is black and soot as can be and gone into the world and belonging to the devil. Because you and I, whether we like it or not, we was kinfolks to the devil.
Right.
We served him.
Amen.
He was our master.
Right.
Well, no, I was a good person all the time. Yeah, you was a good devil. That's because the devil's good. He's not out there in the honky-tonks. He's not out in the slums. You know, the things of the garbage can of the drinking and the doing. He's not out there. The devil don't want to. He wants to be in church. He wants to hear about God and talk about him. You know, because he goes to church more than anybody does. I wish y'all was over here like he is.
But
at least, and two, he lets his presence be known that he's here. We can stop praying and preach a while. He lets his presence be known. You know, it ain't this. He just sits around sleeping and slavering and slumbering and, you know, just, well, I'm here, you know. Brother Dale, wake me up when everything's going good. No. But listen. See, we were born kinfolks to the devil. I know people don't believe that, but I can't help it. I believe it. See? And I want you to believe it. See? The only difference between me and you and anybody else in the world is one thing. God chose us. He said, well, he's over here. He chose them for that purpose. This group over here, he chose them for that purpose. But he chose to give us his new birth. He chose us to be in the body of Christ. He adopted then, see? So you get your mind all up into adoption and run into stage. But just remember, he had to bring us into the family. The new birth brings us into the family. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, said, you must be born again. See? You've got to be born again to be able to see or to enter the kingdom. And doing that, that new birth, then the prophet said, is the most important thing in your life. Is the new birth.
Amen.
See? All right. See, then we need to get that settled.
Right,
you know, get that finished, settled. As to be where that we can say we are the children of God. And I, like I said, I don't know why he chose you and I.
That's right.
Do you know why God chose you? Oh, I was so wonderful. I was so gracious. No. Now, if you want to stay a while and we preach a while, according to the prophets and his message and the Bible, that the last group coming in was to go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Go out and get the garbage cans. Right? I mean, is that the prophet's message? Is that the Bible? Well, then we shouldn't think of ourselves as being too highly, as the Scripture says. We were to think of ourselves, if there's anything good about me, it's what God has made me. See? He chose me. I didn't choose him. See? He chose me to be his child. He offered me the part. All I done was accepted it. Sure, he knew I would do that. That's predestination, right? We know. But still, he offered it. But he offered it to everybody. See? And the prophet of God, I like his way of saying it. You know, there's not a person in the world that in one way or the other that God hasn't dealt with. Whether it be your contact according to your tribe you was living in or whatever you was doing, you know. He's contacted people. He's given us a choice. See? And by giving us a choice, then all I've done is accepted what he's done.
That's
so hard to believe, isn't it? I mean, if you told people, if you said, okay, now what I want you to do, I want you to pay $10,000 to get salvation. Well, there's probably hardly not a person in the world that wouldn't start at least a down payment on it. Right? But see, everybody offers you something like that, and you want to try to do it. or you go do certain penances, you do certain ways, or you do certain thought, you know, you believe certain creeds, you do. But it's so simple to just believe that Jesus Christ died in my place. That's too simple, isn't it? It's so simple until it's hard to believe. It's easy to believe a lie. You know, you got the devil to help you. But it's hard to believe the truth. The truth is that you and I must be born again. Right? And then by being born again, that made us babes, you know, babies. It didn't make us adults. But that's where the trouble's at, spiritually speaking, see? Is you see people that are sitting, and you, have you ever seen somebody that, I remember we was in school, we had a couple of boys, and we was in the fifth grade, and they was ready to, you know, they was about 16, 17 years old, and they were wanting an excuse to quit school. And I told you about it, they got in a fight with a teacher where she'd finally expel them. Well, my Lord, is both of them probably shaving by then. You know, but they knew everything. You know, man, they've grown up. Well, what are you doing in the first grade if you've grown up? You know, I mean, that's just the way life is. We want to think we're grown up. A kid, you get about 12, 13 years old, man, you think mom and daddy don't know a thing in the world. I mean, you think the whole world is messed up, but you got it all in your brain. It's, you're so smart. Well, don't worry about it. If you live long enough, you'll find out that wasn't right. You know, you'll find out mom and daddy was pretty smart. Well, the thing I'm trying to get us to do is just realize they are to start with and save you a lot of trouble, but that's human nature, all right? But do you see what I'm talking about? I just want us to think about, do you have the new birth? All right. Now, if you have the new birth, then your adoption has already started, because that new birth brings you into the body. That makes you a child of God. See? So the process is already into being. And the process of what I'm talking about is the thing that even down through ages was all, if you're listening this morning and been listening, everybody's predestinated to the new birth. And they had the new birth in every age all the way down. All right. But yet compare what they had with what we have. We've come a long ways. But it's been God to bring us all of that away. All right? And see, then, that new birth. See? That new birth is what we need. Because that makes us a child of God. Then you can start the stages of adoption. Then you can start the growth of the development of a child. But get the baby here first. See? But what we want to do is, like Brother Moat told a man one time, he said, you know, he said, what, according to your doctrine, said, and that time I think it was Forrest had just been born. But anyhow, he said, what you're saying, brother, is that, said, my wife, and she was at the hospital then, I think, with Forrest, and he said, what you're saying is that, said, my wife has just had a baby, and said, where's the baby? Oh, they gone to get him a shave and a haircut. You know. I mean, because it's just born, grown. All of us would want to think that, don't we? That we're just grown up. Oh, look, you know, look how we are. No, we're just a bunch of babies. And babies are the ones that desire the sincere milk of the Word. All right. Now, I want you to do this for me, if you will. In this series of what we're talking about, I wish you would read 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. Okay? I mean, that's your assignment. Okay? And listen to everything you can hear on the Hear Ye Hymns, the adoptions, the position in Christ, and the things like that. Listen to them over and over and hear what your prophet is saying. All right? But the reason I say 1 and 2 Corinthians, because really, the Corinthians, that's why it's that way. It is the Corinthians, it is the book of corrections. All right? In other words, you see perfectly in the Corinthians a bunch of babies. Yeah.
They were arguing about who's the greatest. They were arguing about who was to be the leader. You know, they were arguing over the gifts to be right. All of it was just an argument back and forth, and Paul constantly trying his best to get the Corinthians to grow up. See? And to become the children of God. But he never had any trouble with Ephesians. He didn't have to explain the things to the church at Ephesus. You know, the Ephesians. He didn't have to do that at Galatians. He could tell them deeper things. But to the Corinthians, they were always arguing about, you know, who do you follow? I'm of Apollos. I'm of Peter. I'm of in the Message. But see, it's just always somebody trying to have some kind of a way. But what I want you to think on with me, as I was hanging out there at the end this morning, see, that we're aliens. We were aliens away from God. We had to be born again, and by being born again, that would put us into the body. That would put us like then, all of the stories the prophet would be telling you, that you'll hear him explaining that in the Old Testament they had a custom of adoption. All right? And that custom of adoption was that a baby was born into the family, and when it was born into the family, now there's a lot of the quotes here for the people on the internet, and they can read it, but you ought to know the Message. If you heard anything at all, you ought to know it, that child was born into the family. It was a child. See? The father didn't disown the child because of the development of the child not being as great as the other. I mean, it's not a story there that the prophet tells. Say, well, you know, the daddy couldn't trust the child, so he cast him out of his family. Now, there's no such thing. You find your prodigal son as an example, that he wanted his rights. He took it. He went out into the world. He squandered all of it. But when he come home, what did daddy do? Oh, bless God, son, you go sit down over there. You're not in my family. Just get on, go on. You wanted to leave, you know. No. He brought him right back into the family because he knew he had learned a lesson. He had grown up in that period of time, right? And he got to the position that he could adopt him. And we happen to be in Israel when they do it. It's somewhere around 13 years of age. It's not always probably the same. But we were there, and we saw them having that big old word, bar mitzvah, however how you pronounce it, you know, that where they adopt into the family. But that child was a child. It was born a child. See? It was adopted into its own family. In that story, our point, it's not adopting someone else. See? You know, the children of someone else. It's adopting your own children into your family, or bringing them into a position. All right? We'll get to that as we go along. But my point is, that first you've got to find out how you became a child of God. See? A lot, according to the Bible, see? You must receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost to become a child of God. All right? According to the prophet's message, we've got to receive Jesus Christ, and that would make us a child of God. All right. But you know what's so wonderful about it? It made me a child. God is not going to throw me away. No more than, as I said, the father, just because the child never reached the adoptional stages of its life, it was still a child. You know, it didn't set it to the brown table while the family set it to white table, you know. I mean, it didn't have none of those differences in it. It was a child. And it was treated as a child. It just never was brought to that position to have that ceremony to be taken out and recognized or brought before the public, you know. All right? But it was a child. And if we never reach anything in the stature of a perfect man or adoptions or whatever we talk about, God's not going to throw you away. See? That's what I think people are thinking about. See, that why are we around here 40 years later? Look like God ain't doing nothing. As I said this morning, I wish to heaven we would get that out of our mind.
Amen.
And get to the basis that if you brought Peter and them over here and put them here in this situation, they would scream and holler bloody murder, get me back where I was. Because I can't stand this situation. He said, oh, no. Well, the same spirit that's done one has done the other. So I hope you followed me.
Right.
But you see, we're in a different hour and time that's ever been upon this earth. There has never been, and even back there somewhere into the 60s, where those 200,000 demons was loosed, that already had existed all form of demons and ways and persecutions and trials and troubles and killings and things. And then we get 200,000 loosed on us.
Right.
Brother Russ said, on the bride.
Right.
All right? Well, you know what they're there for? Well, boy, I tell you what, I wish we'd get rid of them. They're the very thing that you need. Right? You need the devil to stay after you.
Right.
Yeah, but it looks like he'd let up every once in a while. Yeah. No. The closer you get to God, the more he's going to bear down. I have never taught you a flowery bed of ease. I have never taught you anything. I have never said that we're going to get better and we're going to get better. Everything, oh, the economy's going to straighten out. Oh, Huma's going to straighten it up there, you know. Yeah. No. I don't care who is. He ain't going to straighten this thing out. I don't care if you put him and McCain both in office. They couldn't straighten it out.
Amen.
I don't throw off on nobody. I thank God for where we're at and we're doing. He's doing as good as anybody could probably do in the day and the hour that we're doing. Let me put in a plug that away, because there's one thing about it. Your belly's still as big as it was when he made the office. Probably even bigger. And your bank account's probably greater. To a lot of people. You know, all right, but that's, I'm just being honest. See, that's not the point. The point is the devil, Brother Brown said, we need him to beat on us. How does babies grow up? By learning. It took me 16 years old before I learned to ride a bicycle. You know why? Because we didn't have one. Okay, I figured that'd get you. We couldn't afford them. You had them, you know. But see, some of us are just plain slow, and I guess that's what I've been all my life. But as a child of God, see, we've got to grow up. All right. Growth development is one thing, but I want to ask you a simple, serious question. This is the next message on down the road. How do you grow? You know what makes a tree grow? Wind. Blowing it. Rocking it. Backwards and forth. Shaking it. Beating it. Bending it over. Persecutions is what we need. We're not talking about tribulation. We're talking about persecution that the devil will bring upon you if you confess you're a child of God. Why? He wants to try to break you. You said you were a child of God. He wants to make you prove it. He did that with the Lord Jesus. Where is it with the Lord Jesus that he went through a flowery bed of ease? Once he was identified, then the devil went right after him. Why? Took him 40 days and 40 nights out into the wilderness. He went with no water and no food. You can't do that. Proved he was God. If people don't believe that was God, then that right there would be enough, because you can't live that long without food and water. See? But he was Almighty God. All right. But now listen. We were born wrong. So we need the new birth to make us the children of God. And then that brings us into the family. Now then it comes to where that God doesn't adopt anybody else's children. The stages of adoption won't apply to the world. See? It only applies to those that are the children of God. See? And here we are coming down through and see, thinking that we, you know, that we, this, that, the other, when we're trying to turn down the thing that God has provided to bring us to the right place. it don't sound right. I know that's not sounding right to the human mind. But how did Israel get back into the homeland? By the Jews, 6 million people being killed all over the country. You know what? That's what put them back in the promised land. But now if you ask a Jew, and he was really a true person, what would he say? I caused this. Because I wouldn't do what I was supposed to do. If they're a real true person, you know. Huh? See, you and I are the one that brings these things upon us. See? Then we gripe because they happen. But it's part of our life. See, the point I'm wanting you to get, though, is get that's over there. See, you want to go on. The point is, get the new birth. Well, I've had the new birth for 40 years. Well, then you ain't got no problems me talking about it. Because you know I'm right. See? You know what I'm saying is right if you've got the new birth. Now, if you're arguing about it in your mind, then you don't have it. Is that enough? See? Yeah, but we need this, we need that. How do you get it? See? How are you going to get it? Let's start off right. Let's get the new birth. Let's get in the body. Right. Then we can expect a growth development if we're in the body. See? Because, see, we must be born again. And that's why I gave you a bunch of quotes and I tried to isolate them, but it's so hard to do with the way the prophet says it. We must be born to be a son. If we're a son of God, it means we're born again. We're not talking about the natural creation of the whole world as being the children of God that way, the sons of God. I explained that this morning. We're talking about the body of Jesus Christ. We're talking about being in the body. See? By the new birth. Making us a child of God. See? And being a child of God, then, see, it means you're an offspring of God. You don't have to wait till the change comes to become a child of God. That's where we mess the whole thing. Oh, one of these days, boy, I tell you what. That prophet, he had it, and one of these days we'll have it. Well, that one of these days is out in front of you. And you're like the donkey with the carrot. You know what I'm saying? You know what they've done with a donkey? You know, he wouldn't get up and go, so they put a carrot on a stick, stuck it out in front of him, you know. He's trying to get the carrot and he pulls the cart along. See? We're trying to make something manifested when they were the best thing to do is just get born again. Right. Now, how did you get here naturally? Right. How did you get here naturally? Right. Mom and daddy. Right. You know, mom and daddy brought a little baby in the world. And the thing about it is, we've been around here long enough to I'm just about remember when a lot of you were born. And I happened to be there in the hospital when a lot of them was born. You know. And everything. I've been with you. I've seen you when you were a little baby. If they'd have let me, I'd have been the one that went in there with you and, you know, kind of spanked you a little bit. But, you know, to get you started in life. Well, that's all I've been trying to do ever since then. You know, it just spank us enough to get us to think about it. Consider that new birth that you have. God has partnershiped you with eternal life. What a wonderful situation. As I said, if I never reach any position, I'm not going to die and go to hell. If I'm not a reverent child, I'm not going to be cast away. If I'm not a good child that, you know, minds and other, I'm not going to be cast away. To me, that's a wonderful thing. To think that God gave me eternal life. He owed me a thing. I owe him everything in the world. But he don't owe me nothing. And it's not something good I've done. I mean, how many of you people got here by being, how many of you people got naturally born by being good? That's kind of a problem, isn't it? I mean, well, Sister Johnny, did you, was you something that you way back, you know, no? No, Mom and Daddy just brought you here. You said that's carnal. But there's one thing about it, it's getting the point across. We didn't have anything to do with getting here naturally. What did we have to do with getting here spiritually outside of one thing? And that was accepting what Jesus Christ has done. It can't be anything else can bring it, because if it does, salvation would be of something else. Yeah. All right. So then we must be born again. That would make us a child of God. Now, once you get to that stage, see, of there, that's what I call stage one. All right? And stage one is to come into the family by the new birth. Then we can talk about the growth developments, the things that will transpire, you know. And that's why I tried to isolate, if you'll look at your quotes, and then remember when we get back to them later, on the other ones, you'll see Brother Random spends a lot of emphasis upon the basis of where we're failing at. But I'm not trying to get that point to you. I'm trying to get to the point that there is no failure in the new birth. It's the new birth. It's the most wonderful thing that could ever be, because it made us a child of God. Like I said, though, people in the message, see, they're saying, well, I always was a child of God. See? Well, then you don't need the new birth. And Jesus Christ died in vain, so you don't need that. But what we need is to realize what the new birth has made us. You realize that one day you was a child of the devil? Kin folks to the devil? Had one closer kin and we served him. But then God in a split second made you a child of his. And gave us eternal life. And then us stand as humans and say nothing ain't going on. You know what I'm saying? See, people, that's just the way they are. We're just going to church and being good. Now they just have services every once in a while. You know. I mean, they're just people at the churches, they're just cutting down on the amount of services they have. Why? Because they've gone out into the world with the rest of it, you know, and doing. It was out west out there, and they had a church that they said, well, we don't have evening services, and I'm not calling names, and they're no state, but they said, we're not having evening services because we all go hunting in the evening. Well, in the summertime, you went to church. But in the wintertime, I reckon you went hunting. You know, I mean, I didn't understand that. I wanted to ride with a man. He said, well, there's no need of us going. We're going to have but one service. Yeah. It was a 3 or 4 hour drive or more, and I was going to ride with him, go over there and be in church that Sunday, you know, because, you know, I certainly wouldn't go and hunt. But my point, listen. The new birth brings you into your family, just as your natural birth brought you into your natural family. Your natural birth made you in the lineage of your earthly parents and made you heir of all they have. Right? Your natural birth. All right? Now, we could go out and adopt somebody else's children, and that brings it into the same stages. But see, just use it like I'm saying, the new birth, then, puts us into the family of God. I know Brother Gary, he and I used to talk a lot about this, that when you're first born again, you know, Daddy just answers every prayer you make, don't he? You remember that? You remember when you first got saved? You know how that Daddy was just there? You could ask him for anything, he'd just give it to you. Why? Because he's a pet, a little old baby. You know, it didn't matter if you're 70 years old. He was his baby. And he's giving you everything. But then he realized, hey, you know, I mean, you give a kid everything, it'll wind up sitting there with his mouth open. All it'd be is eating, right? No. You don't want it to stay that way. You want it to learn, to grow. You want it to muscles to be used. That's what God wants in His family. But the main thing is, are we in His family? Yeah, but Brother Dale, I believe the message. Don't go that way. The devil's got you in the biggest trap that's ever been, is to try to tell the people that they don't need nothing. That's why I holler so much against it, because see, the people are preaching that you don't need all these things. Well, then how in the world are the children going to be able to receive anything? Children, you realize one thing, that Brother Dale, he loves you, and he's done everything he could to help you, right? But he's also going to tell you you're lost. And you must be born again. You got to be saved. You don't go to heaven because mom and dad is going to heaven. You got to be born again. It's not that you just, well, I was born in this family. No. No. You got to be born again. If you're the age of accountability to understand what I'm talking about, then you're at the age of understanding that you must be born again. All right? To come into the family of God. But see, when God brought you and I into the family, now here's my whole thing I'm trying to get to you. He adopted us into the family. All right? Adopted us into the family. See? Because that's where He chose us. See, I know that doesn't agree with everybody else's adoptions. They want the adoption of the stature of perfect man, the growth developments. They want all that quotes. But you don't listen to the prophet talking that you must be born again. That you must accept Jesus Christ to be in the family of God. And if you don't accept Jesus Christ, then you're not in the family. See? We've got to be brought into the family before we can start talking about growth development. You know? But see, that child, as I said, then that child, as I said about the book of Corinthians, he needs correction. See? Why? Because you want him to grow upright. All right, that's growth development. That's those things. But first, to be in the family of God, you must be born again to make you a child of God. And then by being born again, see? Then you become an heir. Now here's the adoption. The prophet explains, and he says that the child, and the scripture says that they have no inheritance. What's he saying? What is Brother Brown saying when he says the child is no different? What is Paul saying in Galatians 4? That he's no different. We'll get to that scripture in a minute. What's he saying? Is he saying that's not a child? No, sir. You're going wrong now. It's a child. And it has a right to sit at the table and eat. It has a right of all the benefits of the family. It just can't be trusted with the inheritance. The rich young ruler done that, right? I mean, the prodigal son, not the rich young ruler, the prodigal son, he took his ahead of time. Had he been raised right, he wouldn't have went out and blowed it, right? So then he wouldn't have been my child adopted into my family on the basis of inheritance. So when you read the prophet and you hear him say, see, said he's a child, said he has no inheritance. What's he talking about? He's not talking about that you can't sit at the table and eat. Right? I'm just making the natural point. He's not saying that you're not in the family. He's not saying the child is not a child, that it's a disowned child and cast out of the family. No. God has never done nobody that way. He's saying they're in there. They're there. They're children. But yet the growth development is not there. Right? He's covering growth development, not whether or not you're a child. The new birth makes you a child of God. You're born into the family of God. Just as you're born into your natural family. And by the new birth, that puts you in the family. See? But yet that's not the point that you want a child to be. You look at your children and you see pictures of them when they're 2 or 3 years old. And you really, oh man, look at that, you know. But you don't want them to stay that. Right? Why? Because that's not the whole story. See? You know there's something wrong if the child stays that way. All right? But see, I gave you a whole bunch of quotes where Brother Ren talking about how you must be born the Son of God. And see, that's why you got to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What is it? 1 Corinthians about 17, you know, where it talks about a new creature. That it makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus, the new birth. See? A new creation. Why? Because that's what you are. You become a child of God by the new birth. Now you have the right of adoption. Now are you listening to what I'm saying? Adoption was pertaining to Israel. Had no pertaining to you and I. The new birth adopted us into the family of God. Placed us. Chose us. Put us in the family. Now I've got a right to the inheritance. I've got a right to want to move up and to come to the place that God wants me to be. See? I've been brought into the family. The first thing, see, is you got to be brought into the family. Because you're not into the family just because of your natural birth. See? You're in your natural family because of your natural birth. You must have a spiritual birth to be brought into the family of God, the new birth. All right? And then when you have the new birth, see, then that puts you into that family. See, now what happens? Go to Galatians 4. We'll pick up and just get a few things. And we'll see what Paul had to say about it. Because once that baby's brought into the body of Christ, but it's a baby. All people are babies when they're first born into the family of God. Now, it starts off with full grown. We know the whole story. The disciples were tutored for 3.5 years. And when the Holy Ghost fell, it gave them what was known as the faith of the fathers. But on the 3,000 outside at the next time, they're babies. Babies. Read all of the things in the Bible about just babies growing up. Because that's what God wants us to be. All right? So listen to how Paul sums it up. Now I say that the heir, now he's just coming down explaining that there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female and all. And he's talking about that we're Abraham's seed. Now we know we're not Abraham's natural seed. The new birth makes us Abraham's spiritual seed, right? It is not a Jew that's a Jew outwardly, but a Jew that's a Jew inwardly, all right? Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. The baby. You don't trust it with driving the car. You don't trust it with the doing, but you let it learn. And let them do. That's what they always get with me because, you know, they say I'm just a dotty old granddaddy with the grandkids because I've sat and, you know, we'd be working at home and it'd take me an hour to do what I could have done in 5 minutes. You know why? I was letting the grandkids help me, or the kids, you know. Because it's training them, you know. And let them pound nails. There's some in our living room floor, there's probably a Geiger counter would really go off right in the middle. Because there's probably 100 nails drove in one circle this big. Well, I didn't go tear them all out and do everything. I just covered it over with another floor, you know. But let them train. And you know they learn. Out in the garden the other day, you know, and I was trying to plant some stuff, and if it's really good, I love to do it, and I'll just drop my seed, and you know, and instead of taking the hoe and covering them up, I just walk and push the dirt like that each way, you know, and some of you older ones know what I mean, and you just cover it up. Well, it packed, and you're walking on it, and it kind of packs that wet soil down just like the planter does on the regular planters. Why your stuff comes up so good. All right? But, you know, I was out there doing that. And little Abby, you know, 4 years old in a few days. And, you know, she wanted to help me. I want to plant some. Well, I just give her some seed. I used to do it with the kids. I used to do it with the grandkids. I have corn growing in the middle of the row. Amen. Beans right out in the middle. Right where the okra's at. Beans is growing up. Why? I let them put them. You know? Well, then she saw me doing that covering up, and Nanny and Lisa and them were just dying laughing at her. Because why? Because here I was dropping the stuff, and she's coming along behind, kicking dirt. She's learning. See? Well, a lot of people, you could tell them, go out there, a lot of kids is 10 years old or 15, go out there and cover up that seed. Cover up. What do you do? How do you cover it up? Well, let them learn. You know, they call me Patience of Job when it comes to that, because I do. I love to let the kids say, look, this is the way you do it. You know, this is the way. I want to train them. You know, where they learn to do something. That's part of the family. But see, they're under what? Verse 2. But it's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, listen, were in bondage under the elements of the world. All right, now he's explaining a twofold thing. First off, the natural, when you're under the bondage of the elements, you're a child working in life, you know, all right? Secondly, if we're a child, we're still under bondage. A child is under bondage. It's dependent upon somebody to raise it, to help it, see? All right. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under to redeem that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. All right. Now, he's no different. He's an heir, but he's given a tutor. And I gave you a bunch of quotes where Brother Branham, and just handpicked a few of them, where he tells you what the tutor really is for a Christian. Newborn babe in Christ receives a tutor. What is that? The Holy Spirit. Brother Brown said he couldn't found no better. He gave you the Holy Spirit to be your tutor, your governor, your director, your leader. Well, why wouldn't we want to follow in the footsteps? Now, see, everybody wants to get on over into the other, but, you know, well, the tutor has to go before and explain to the Father a lot of times that we're not living right. That's the next message, all right? Stay in this message. You know, where I'm at today. And think about it. God gave us a tutor. You know, a raiser. The Holy Spirit. What could be greater than to think about that my Father thought so much about me, now listen, that He didn't give me an angel. We know there's angels, and we know what they're for. You know, they're the heirs of salvation. I know that. I've preached on it. We know what it is, but get the story right here. He didn't pick out an angel and send it down to guide me to be my tutor. Right? The Holy Spirit is my tutor. Come on now, you study the message and see what I'm talking about. You say, well, an angel, you preach this angel. Right, I preach this angels, and I believe in it. They're under the heirs of salvation. Right. And every born-again believer has an angel. Right, we believe that. But this is what I'm trying to get you to see, something more personal. An angel is an outside, outward being assigned to help you. Right? But the Holy Ghost is an inside teacher. Right? I want the tutor inside. See, that way I don't have to worry about it. Then it's not you trying to tell the child what to do, and the child's off in a blue, blue, blue world, not even listening to you. It's the inside teacher. The Holy Spirit is the tutor. The new birth brings you the tutor. Puts that Holy Spirit inside of you. puts God's own nature, God's own life inside of you to raise you.
Amen.
That's wonderful.
Amen.
I mean, whether you think about it like I do or not, that's a wonderful thing. Because if you could choose the best you could get in the world to raise your children. You know? But see, we want somebody, as we'll get to it later, we want somebody to tell it the truth. And you know the tutor's going to tell the truth. We don't want somebody to take it back to the father and try to butter it up. That ain't going to help you grow. But see, your tutor, I gave you some quotes where the prophet said, the Holy Spirit is your tutor. That's an inside teacher. Not an angel to be out here to protect you and guide you, which is wonderful. But it's an inside teacher, an inside tutor. That's what the new birth means. It's not, now listen, it's not you get the new birth and then he gives you a tutor. All right? Don't go that way. When he gave you the new birth, that is the tutor to raise you. See? It made it an inside one. It's not that we got to be wait so long and then we'll get the Holy Ghost. No, no. Repent, everyone, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is promised unto you and unto your children. All right? See? It's a promise. But it's not. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know I'm just making natural points. I'm wanting to. It's not that you would, an angel is wonderful, but that's an outside person, or whatever you want to call it, being to help you. But the Holy Ghost is not an outside one, he's inside. See? To raise that child. Now, wouldn't it be something? What if you, when your children were born, what if you could just stand there and the life come in them and you could just some way take your nature and just... You getting it? Wouldn't it be something to where your baby was going to be born and you could just stand right there and you could say, now this is what I want. And to make sure of what I want, I'm just going to come down and go in that child. I'm going to give that child part of my life. That'd be great, wouldn't it? But see, we can't do it. Doesn't work that way. But God can. The new birth, he just comes right down, places his own life. The tutor's not a secondary person. He's not somebody hired to do the job. He's not going to get paid whether he's good or bad. You know, he's not going to get paid better if he's good, you know, or whatever. No. And what do they say in school if you're given a tutor? If the teachers really know the tutor you have, they know that according to that tutor, that they can tell who the tutor of that person is, right? Because they'll know the nature of the person and the way they answer questions and the way they do the work and things. They can tell you this so-and-so was the tutor of that person, that student. Because they're seeing their nature instilled into the natural part of it. But see, the Holy Spirit is the nature of Almighty God. He didn't trust it with nobody else. He come himself to make sure we have the right nature. He come to live in us.
Hallelujah.
Then whose nature are we supposed to display?
Amen.
Yeah. And oh, come on, we still have our own human parts about us. Right? Just because you're born again doesn't get rid of everything. That's why you're a baby. That's why the growth development has to be there. Yeah. I mean, you say, but my child wouldn't do that because they're born again. Well, why do we do it? We're supposed to be born again. You know why? Because we're still that much human. And that's why Brother Dale's always been that way. See, I've never preached some kind of a deliverance that would just whoop, and just some rabbit in a hat trick to bud you. Just one day you're as mean as the devil, and the next day you're just a saint and you'll never do nothing wrong. Now, I don't believe in that. I wish it was right, but I don't believe in it. You know why I don't believe in it? Because I lived it. I'm still living it, you know? That's why I understand it. That's why I understand why people are like we are. It's because I'm still living. That don't make it right or wrong. That don't justify nothing. We were trying our best last night to define what would be a lie or not a lie. You know, and I mean, that's hard to do. You say a lie is a lie. Well, Brother Branham said it's not a lie unless you're trying to hurt somebody with it. Or some motive or objective, you know, of what you're doing. Well, you're saying that the prophet said it's all right to lie. He didn't say it was all right to lie. He didn't say that. He was just telling you what it was. You know. And we were just like, someone would give an illustration, like Aaron was, like, say, you know, somebody would ask you something, well, you know, and you say, well, I've been sworn to not say nothing. Well, you lied. No. My swerve, my oath to keep that a secret forbids me to run my big mouth. See, then you say, well, is it all right to lie? No, it's not all right to lie. Because you're trying to deceive with it. And you know the difference. Right? But it's not a lie unless it's really trying to hurt somebody. Yeah. Brother Branham said what? That little boy said, you was up on that mountain. He said, no, I wasn't. He said, I wanted to see what they'd say. This prophet had the right answers. We just have to search a lot of times till we find it. See and understand it. All right. But now listen, get the point and we'll quit. God gave us the tutor. His own life. Now what kind of a children are we supposed to be? When God thought so much of us, he gave us his own life. To bring us into his family so that he could start the process that would carry us into the authorities, the adoption, the change of the body. Then he started it off. I'll get one more scripture. Go to Romans. And you'll see where we're going. Go to Romans 8. And then you'll see which way we're going. You know, I just forgot my notes. Might as well. But in Romans 8, if you'll read Romans 8, verse 14 through about 23, you'll find the three stages of adoption, just like we've been talking about. Because most of you have been around here long enough, you heard me teach over this in many, 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 many years. But look at where it starts off, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. All right? If you have the new birth, the tutor, you're a child of God. All right? What does that make you? For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Then he goes on to explain, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. All right? See, when you're born again, you get the spirit of adoption. To where you can start the process of adoption. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of adoption. All right? The tutor, the raiser, is the same. Now listen, this will be valuable for about four services down, but the same Holy Spirit that is your tutor is the one that will position you in the body. Right? That's why I said the tutor being the Holy Spirit is very important, because it's not that the tutor brings you up so far and then he turns you over to somebody else. The tutor is the Spirit of the Father. Right? And what is the adoption? The Spirit of the Father. It doesn't change. It's the same Holy Spirit. It's just according to what he's working on. But he has to come into you and I, making us the children of God, and we receive the Spirit of adoption, which is the Holy Spirit. Then the tutor becomes the raiser. The raiser becomes the father. So you know what? He's growing too. He's enjoying this too. You know what? God is bringing out his manifestations. Right? It's going to bring his life into view just like it's going to bring ours. The tutor, the raiser. All right? The Holy Spirit is your tutor. But now, listen to make sure you understand. The tutor then doesn't adopt you. It's the Spirit of adoption. But the tutor becomes the father. The father's the one that adopts. Right? I hope you get what I'm saying there, and that where it won't be confusing to you. See? The Holy Spirit is your tutor, but it also becomes your father. Amen. That way, then, it's all one, as I said to start with this morning, it's all three stages, but is it really three stages? Or is it just a growth development? You know, you're the same child as you was, Brother Anderson, when your mama rocked you in the cradle. You just growed up. See? Same child. Because he's our father. Let's stand together. Come on, brother. Think on these things. But my point is what? We must get the new birth to be able to say we are the children of God. Or Nicodemus would have been told, all you got to do is go back and confess what you got and believe what you've had. No. He said, you must be born again. You must die to yourself and receive my life. Was that what he was saying? If you receive my life, then you're my child. I know that's simple. I know this morning was simple. But I'm trying to get us to see that something is going on and has been going on for a long time. Not waiting to something to take place, waiting on the finished product to reach the end. All right? Sure, wanting a body change. But see, your third stage of adoption, now listen, I'm making statements ahead. Your third stage of adoption is not the body change. That's not scriptural. It's to wit, to understand the redemption of the body, is your adoption. To come to an understanding that we've already been changed. We're still standing here as human mortals. There's your adoption. There's the things that we have need of. So what do we got?
Let's try 167 in the red book. We ain't done this in a long time. When pains are
seed over my soul, to the Lord I cry. Jesus came and made me whole. I would not be denied. I would not be denied. When you become a child of God, how could your father deny you? I would not be denied. Jacob in the days of old, did you? The Lord, an instant with a courage bold, I stood up on his word. I would not be denied. Do you believe it?
I would not be denied.
God can't deny his children. What a wonderful thing the new birth is. But what if you don't ever seek for it and receive it? I'd rather have told you many times, I'd rather be seeking God all of my life. And get out the end of it and found out I had Him. Than to not seek Him at all and get out to the end and find out I didn't have Him. Would not be denied. Jesus came and made me whole. Would not be denied. Oh, would not be denied. I would not be denied. Till Jesus came and made me whole. I would not. You know, we were sitting up there yesterday, and a man was doing a real good job at the thing, you know, of the Baptist church explaining salvation and getting people to make a kind of a commitment. Well, you know, when he come around, he said, how many people would like to be saved? You know, I put my hand up. Brother Dale. The man wanted to know you want to be saved. I want to be saved. That was what I had in mind. Not to join the church, not to do. I want to be saved from the man that I am. People sitting around looked, said, that fella needs salvation. They come walked up to me. I'd invite them to church today to hear about it. You a preacher? Raise your hand. Yes, I want to be saved. I want to be delivered from the man that I am, as Paul said. I want to be saved from the creature that I am. I believe I have the salvation in my soul. But I want to be saved. I want to come to a place to be delivered. I believe I'm a child of God, yes. But I want to satisfy my Father. I want Him to be pleased. I would not be denied. I would not be denied. Till Jesus came and made me whole. I would not be denied. Was gone and would not hear my prayer, but praise the work is done and Christ the Lord is free. I would not, you agree? I wouldn't be denied. I wanted to be what He wants me to be and make me whole. Would not be denied. You believe it? See? I just want to be a child of God, don't you? And I want my Father one day to say, well done. Well, you know what? This is what I've tried to get you to see. When Martin Luther walks up there and all of the problems they had of the age and time, do you know that my Father will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Well, you know when Wesley comes forward, you know when Azusa Street, and you know He'll mean it just exactly when He says to you, well done, you overcome Lady of Sia and the thing, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because He was just as pleased to be back there as He's pleased to be here. We're just His children, right? Think on these things. Let's sing that, Ain't God Good? And then we'll just go believe it. Good. So many blessings. things undeserving. That's what we are. We ought to thank Him, love and praise Him a little more today, whole lot more tomorrow. Ain't God good?